Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning, Pastor.
We welcome each of you here this day to Trinity, and we're glad that we're able to say almost Thanksgiving. We're going to, in fact, have our Thanksgiving celebration right after this service, so hope you're going to get hungry and be, well, not chomping your lips, but, ready to eat. So we're glad to have you with us today. There's a couple of cards in front of you. Please fill those out. One's blue, one's orange, yellow. And in these cards, we would like to make sure you fill those out just to let us know that you're here. One is for prayer requests, visitors and members alike. Please fill those out. And then the next thing is, also for those of you who are filling the blue cards out, all of us, members, visitors, all of us, please fill those out. They're very important, very helpful to our church and our ministry, to you as a member and to our congregation as a whole. So please fill those out. Please now stand and welcome one another. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have left done, by what we have left undone. Loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may be light in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
His Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, with which weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall sign like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel for this day is appointed is from Mark chapter 13.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples, and said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone here upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign that when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must first take place. But at the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on the guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my name's sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must be first proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and give them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Know that I am not.
Just enjoying the music so much, I forgot I had to preach. We're glad that you're all here, each of you, and by God's grace, each of us are all here. Hebrews chapter 10, 11 to 25 is the epistle lesson that was just read. It will be the basis for today's meditation. It starts off by saying, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Pastor Jim Gilzo was the pastor at Tampa, in Matampa, at Carrollwood, actually, at Messiah Lutheran Church for over 30 years. He'd mentored many a vicar. He'd served as a circuit for mentoring and bringing up several young pastors as they began their ministry in the Tampa circuit. And at his retirement, he told of a story of a young pastor who came to him and said, Pastor Gilzo, you've just been such a mentor, a friend, and a leader, a pastor to me. Why, Pastor, I think you're a model pastor. And he looked at us at the convention and he said, yes, I know, that's what I am. A model pastor, a small replica of the real thing. As you and I look at our lives, we are model Christians, replicas of the real thing. We bear the reflection of God in His grace, His Son Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are followers of Christ. Others call us Christ followers, disciples. We are, in some essence, the only book of the Bible that anyone will ever read. It's what they see borne out in our life. Our life to them is the only Bible that they will read. And so as you and I start to look at this, we start to see that the Old Testament sacrifices were kind of the same thing. They were replicas of the real thing, a model. In the Old Testament, they were not the spotless Lamb of God, even though spotless lambs were used. And they reflected upon that which would occur and would take away the sins of the world. But through these in the Old Testament, there truly was no forgiveness of sin. But as you and I know, that Jesus Christ came and did die and was suffered and did suffer upon the cross. And that through the death of His Son, God did reestablish a relationship with you and me. That changes everything. But He, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice, the book of Hebrews tells us, He offered a sacrifice for sins for all time, and He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until His enemies He made a footstool for His feet. There's a lot of imagery that goes on in this little section, this little verse. Let's unpack it if we could. Having offered once a sacrifice for all, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Now, first of all, He sat down. That's meaning that He had accomplished that which He was sent to do. The mission was accomplished. It was over. He could now sit. He could now rest with His Heavenly Father. And He would sit where? At the right hand of God the Father. Why? Because it would be He who would judge the heavens and the earth. That was Jesus. Jesus, the one who had paid the price, was now seated in that place of power and authority, and what he decided is how it would go. Jesus is that one who seated at the right hand of God the Father. And if you're the right hand man of the boss of the company, you know that you're the one that people go to for answers. You're the one that people look to and ask what they should do. You're that one. That's who Jesus is. He's the one, the spotless Lamb of God. Now, when we start to look at this, he was also looking at how he was placed, all of his enemies were placed at his feet. That means that every knee, every bow shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that time, at the end of time, that's what the entire world will do, whether or not they've ever believed a moment, a day, or a millisecond in the name of Jesus. They all, one and all, will bow at the name of Jesus because he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of God. But we understand this Christ's real sacrifice, that he did die once for all. And as a high priest, we know that in the Old Testament, they would daily offer sacrifices for sin. First for their own, and then they would also offer a sacrifice for the rest of the people of God. That we do that annually, but also daily they would offer sacrifices. And day after day, time after time, year after year, but their sacrifices only foretold of Christ's real sacrifice. For there was not found forgiveness in them, but the promise of forgiveness that could only come from Christ's one-time sacrifice. Number two, their sacrifices only pointed to that promise of forgiveness. And number three, they could not offer forgiveness. But my friends, Jesus did come. He was both true God, from eternity begotten, not made, like we will hear in the Apostles or a Nicene Creed rather today. And his result, he was also born true man, born of a Virgin Mary. And that was prophesied 900 years before the birth of Christ, that he would be born of a virgin and from the city of Bethlehem. And from that time we also see, as we look back all the way into the book of Genesis, at the very beginning chapters, chapter 3, to be the critical point to where we are. We know that Adam and Eve, as they fell into sin, had walked prior to that time in a perfect unity and oneness with God. Daily they'd walk through the garden and they'd be there in a perfect peace with one another and with God. But after they ate of the fruit of the trees, their eyes were both open and they did know the difference between both good and evil. And evil wasn't good. So much so that they now knew that they were naked and they were ashamed of that. And they were ashamed of being, that they'd fallen sin to God, that they disobeyed him. And as a result, they hid from God. But God in his mercy found them. He searched them, he hunted them out. Just like he does for you and me when we have sinned and fallen short and try to hide from God. He hunts us down in a good way. God the Father at that point condemned the sin, but he covered their nakedness. And it was through the promise of a forgiveness of a seed of a Savior who would be born of the woman, and that seed would crush the head of the serpent who had caused them, tempted them to sin. And what you and I start to see is that this Savior that was promised is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All those years would have to pass first, but it was all the way back in Genesis that that was promised. And then in Isaiah, again, it's foretold that he would be born of a virgin. And this would be the spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist told us in the River Jordan. Yes, Jesus. And for by his one offering, he perfected for all time those who would be made holy, sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies for us after saying this. This covenant I will make with them. That's between God and you and God. And so we have a contract with God. He says, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. If we are in confirmation, we would recall that there are three ways in which we understand and know God. The first is in creation itself. The stars, do they not declare the glory of God? And we start to look at the heavens and the earth, and we see all of this world and life, and we understand that it had to be created. It just couldn't be a big bang. And to have some type of a order and a purpose and a meaning to it. No, it was created by God. And the stars and the heavens declare the glory and the work of God Himself, who got personally involved with creating it. And then the seventh day He rested, and He said, it is good. And in the Hebrew it says, it's very good. You and I also know that the second way in which we know God and His will is because it's written on our heart, as this text tells us in Hebrews. It's written on our minds, it's written on our hearts. And if you go to the deepest, darkest tribe anywhere in the world that's so remote, even they have the witness of God written upon their heart and their mind, understand that it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong when it violates God's will, which is written on their hearts and in their minds, placed there by the Holy Spirit. To create that hurt yearning and that hunger to be made right with God and to understand and search Him out to find who He is. And if you go to those tribes, often they will have a sense that there is a God. And they will have worship of some God, small g, that they try to find out and embrace. But you and I are so fortunate. God has revealed Himself to us through His holy word called the Bible. And in that Bible, God's love letter to you says that you and I are His creation. And that He loves you and me very much. And that He wants to embrace us, even though we have fallen short, like Adam and Eve drifted off, that He wants to drive us back into His arms of mercy and grace so that we can become one again with Him through His Son. Through His Son who was willing to suffer and to die in our place, to be that perfect sacrifice who one time would offer His life for ours so that you and I could be one with God in heaven for eternity. And this is the last half of that verse in Hebrews which says, I'll put the law on their heart and their mind, I will write them. It says, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. There's a story of two angels. It's a story here. Taking a man to heaven who had just passed away. And the man was asking all kinds of questions, saying, you know, I'm really kind of concerned about it. I wasn't really ready to go yet. Are you sure heaven's ready for me? And they said, oh, Jesus promised it. There's a place in paradise that He's gone ahead to prepare. You remember that verse? And he said, oh, yes, I remember. Then he says, but what about all the things that I did wrong that I shouldn't have done? And the one angel looks at the other and they said, I don't think he knows. And he said, what don't I know? And he says, because of the blood of Christ, the angels told the man, they said, God promises to forget all your sins. And the guy says, I thought God knew everything. He says, that's the amazing thing, the angel said. It's that they want you to know God remembers our sins no more. For those of you who've been married and raised children, often we can remember those things that have occurred in our life. Some of them are good, and some of them are not so good as we look back on raising our children or even in a marriage, a wonderful marriage. Sometimes we just remember certain things that the other person's done. And we remember them. Can you imagine God who knows all, not only our what we've done, but our thoughts, who weighs the motives of our mind and of our life, who's able to separate bone from marrow, who understands the depth and the intent and the intentions of our heart. Once he sees the blood of Jesus covering our sins, he sees that they're no more. He remembers them no more. Even though he's an all-knowing, omniscient, all-powerful God, he remembers them no more. God in Christ forgives, but he also forgets our sins. Therefore, brethren, Hebrews writes, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a high priest, a great high priest, over the house of God, let us draw near with hearts that are sincere, full of faith, assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. My friends, seeing all that you've just heard, you and I should have that confidence to enter even the holy place of heaven and to stand in the presence of God before his throne. Not with any fear, because Almighty God has sent his Son and now has declared you holy and righteous in the blood of Jesus. As God looks at you and as he looks at me, he sees his Son Jesus, our faithful high priest. And he stands beside us. Jesus said, he's with me. And he smiles as he puts his arm around her and he says, she's mine. I redeemed her. I forgave her. She's my daughter. The book of Revelation, which we read in the first lesson, tells us that our names, your name, my name, are written in the book of life. Wow. What a wonderful blessing we have. One of the blessings as pastor I get, and through the years of ministry I've had, I talk with a lot of folks, many of them who say they're no longer attending because they simply say, I'm not good enough. I really was surprised one man when I told him, I agree, you're not. Kind of did that number. And I said, but however, I go for the that very reason, because I'm not good enough either. And he got the point. And then he said to me, but you know, pastor, if I walked into the church, the roof would come down. You know, the old joke. Ha ha. Well, I have it on good authority. Eric Havens has told me that this church will not fall down. The roof has never fallen down on any such person in the history of nearly 100 years here. And it's been inspected, and it is safe for you to come in. Now, I want you to understand, as you and I stand, we can, even in the presence of Almighty God before his throne, we can have confidence and full assurance that our lives are safe in the hands of a living God. And as you and I, who are separated by our sins, have been connected through the blood of Christ to the Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that which divided us is now united us in Christ's blood. Our sins have been removed, and we are now able to see and stand in the presence of Holy God. The book of Hebrews continues by saying, let us then hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, resolute, strong, like cement, sturdy and steadfast. We stand in the grace of God. If you can just imagine standing out in a field, and that field is just nothing but the grace of God. That's how you and I stand daily, in the grace of God. We stand in the grace of God. All of it's around us, looking at our life. Our situations do not establish our identity or frame the day that we're living. No, our relationship as a Christ follower is how we view every day of life. It's the filter and the lens through which we look at our life and our world. When we view it in this way, we can be like Bev Middleton and say we're living the dream. It's just another day in paradise, even though we may be spending it from a hospital bed with a bedpan. We're living the dream because we're living it with Jesus. We do this without wavering, and we do this without wondering. Our faith is founded and is firm like steel. It's unbreakable, and it will stand up. Let us consider then how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Our goal is to love even as Christ has loved us, to be there for one another. And as I had breakfast with Rocky this past week, he said, "I got your back." He said, "I got your six." Right? And it reminds me of the story of the sequoia trees in Northern California. How many of you have driven through the hole in the tree? Just driven your car through that? And one of you? Good. I think Desiree and I saw your hand going up. Sometimes I remember the stories differently than you do. It's good to see yours went up because I said I did too. And I want to just let you know that those trees that have stood the test of time for centuries, they grow, but they're so strong and sturdy, and you look how tall they are, and you just think and imagine, they must really be strong. But as they grow, they have a root system that has become intertwined over the years. They're like fingers touching and reaching out to other trees nearby. And like hands, they hold one another up. When one gets blown towards one way, it pulls on the other, and the other tree pulls back. And when you and I start to look at it, their strength is determined by who stands beside them. And my friends, the one who stands beside us in the storms and stresses of everyday life is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. Because there's big things going on in some of our lives. The Lord is standing there with you. He's intimately and personally engaged, intimately involved, and like the sequoia trees, He will help hold you up. I want you to also know, as the church, as Christian brothers and sisters, we too surround one another. And that it is us together that helps one another stand up and hold us tight and allows us to be able to stand and withstand the storms of our life. What we see is by the grace of God that our lives, our root systems have intertwined, and like fingers they have clasped one another even as we're praying to that one Jesus. Together we are holding each other up, and together with arms and hands of faith, we lift, we strengthen, and we support one another. And we can step in and stimulate one another to good deeds, to love. Let us then, the book of Hebrews says, not forsake our own worshiping, as is the habit of some, but rather to understand that worship is important to each of us. This is some place where we, however, need to be together. If we're going to encourage one another, we need to be with one another. Your presence is a blessing not only for you, but for one another. It's a blessing for the rest of us as we worship together. Your presence is also a blessing to me and to all of us who are worshiping today. And as we look at that, we celebrate this thing that we have together called faith. And as we see our family here, we see how we can lift up one another, how we can pray for one another, how we can stand with one another. Where else can we receive the Word of God? Forgiveness, our faith fed, and our souls refreshed, while we also stand in the grace of God with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad you're here. And may God bless you today for the journey that lies ahead. We'll walk it together. We're like those trees, but Christ is in our midst. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we speak the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. Things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks that you are a good and faithful High Priest. Through your blood we are able to enter the Holy of Holies, to receive even this your body and blood in this Holy Communion. As we celebrate this, allow us to know that as we come to your altar and your rail, that you offer us the forgiveness of sin, the strengthening of our faith, here and now, this very day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also give you thanks as we recall our baptisms, that we were called by name, washed clean through the pure water combined with the Word. And there we were chosen by you in eternity to be able to be your children, sons and daughters. We thank you for this good and gracious gift that you've given us to remind us daily that we are your children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would bless and be with our congregation and our school, that you would bless us as we celebrate and feast this day upon this Thanksgiving Day dinner. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of your children that have been requested.
Dear loving Father, thank you for the privilege and honor to be able to come before you in prayer, in praise and thanksgiving and in petition, knowing that you hear our prayers. We praise you for our comfort dog, Peace, and for the thanksgiving, for the safe travels and for mercy, compassion, presence, and proclamation of Jesus Christ shown to the victims of Hurricane Michael. And we come to you also in petition, crying out to you in our need. We pray for Ruth, for complications from intestinal infections. Ruth is the mother of Melody Smothers, and we lift her up in prayer. We pray for Rita and Dr. Daniels for closing in for their hospital project. We pray for Michael, for strength and healing as he battles a brain tumor. And we lift up before you, Heavenly Father, all of the elderly sick in our midst. We ask you to meet their deepest needs. For all these things we pray in Jesus' name.
And now we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks. And he gave it unto his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto this cup unto the disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and bring you His peace. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, why don't we do that? That's a good idea. Yeah.
So one of the plumb lines of our Christian faith is fellowship. So I invite you all to be a Sequoia, if you were paying attention, and join us for the congregational Thanksgiving dinner. As you've heard, there's succulent turkey, and the people of the church have cooked, and it is always a fantastic meal. So whether you brought something or not, there's plenty of food. Please join us. It's out that door over there. I'm encouraging Pastor to greet people at the side door. Down the hall, turn right into Fellowship Hall, and there's a great meal. And Pastor's going to pray for that meal before we depart. Also, second slide. So the Trinity Family Community Outreach event, the next one coming up, is less than 2 weeks away. Going to talk loud on Friday, November 30th at Lake Eola. It's the Christmas tree lighting. Our school children will be singing. We will have several booths set up, and they're looking, the more people we have there, the more opportunity we have to encounter people and teach them the real reason about that Christmas really still is about Jesus and all that other stuff. But we will have volunteers are giving out cocoa, coffee, treats, hosting an ornament making activity, and a nativity photo booth. They're meeting and greeting people and sharing information about our church and our school ministries here at Trinity. So they're looking for more volunteers, and I know, and it's a good time, you just get to hang out and talk to people and have fun. With that,
Pastor, I've got one announcement. You might as well stay up here too. I would like to thank you for your efforts of leading a charge over on the houses, and I know that you had a few folks join this past 2 weekends, and so we'd like to acknowledge that and thank them. Also, we'd like to say thank you to also the group that helped move the pastoral and the finance offices. Thanks for Eric leading the charge on that and getting a great group of volunteers. Few of us have sore knees and bad backs and weak minds, so we all got a lot of that done, in fact. We also have one other announcement, and I said last Sunday, if you ever have trouble having the teenagers at your house take out the trash, Trinity has the perfect solution for you. And so if you look to the back, we have a teenager from Trinity that's going to sell you garbage bags to help you take out your trash. So that was a great offer, and it's a wonderful gift for the gift that keeps on giving. So we want to welcome you today if you're a visitor, and please stand up now and join us for our final closing hymn.